This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with a terrible twosome of...
Audrey Raj.
Arvini Viraj.
They'll be with me all the way through until 1 o'clock. And our producer du jour, of course, is Christian Wong. She'll be with us all the way through as well, pushing the buttons and fading the faders. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp hotline. Also on Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Today, yesterday we talked trash. Today we're speaking about money. Two things that are unrelated but often linked very closely.
Yeah.
Now, there's an article that I picked up from Fast Company, or rather Christine picked up, in fact. 5 money lessons you should have learned by the age of 30. Arvin, how old are you?
Way too late.
Right. Audrey, I'm not going to ask you.
I'm not going to tell people.
Christine, I believe, is the only one of us here in the studio.
That still has time. To pick up these lessons.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's some lessons, of course, that once they are gone, they are gone. It's like watching TV in the 80s. If you missed the episode, it's gone forever. You're not seeing it ever again, you know?
Yeah.
And some of these lessons are kind of like that, but most of them are like Betamax, or they're like DVDs or Blu-rays. You can watch them again later.
It's like
on.
When you know a spoiler, it's done.
It's done.
It's
right.
done. It's done.
So we'll be looking at some of these lessons a little bit later on. But our question of the day is, what's the biggest money lesson that you've learned so far? Again, the WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. We spoke to some people in the office to kind of ask them the most intimidating aspect of money you've yet to learn about. We got some clips and this is what they had to say.
I honestly think loans are very interesting. I mean, as a fresh graduate, I'm not earning enough yet in this sort of economy and stuff. So how do I know if I'm allowed to ask for a loan and how much? And like hearing even parents having to ask for loans for their children's weddings, for example, that's crazy, you know? So it's like, when can I ask for a loan sort of thing? Who's allowed to have a loan? Yeah.
It is about investing, because I think if I have like money to invest, I don't know who or what I should invest on.
How to invest in stocks when it comes to wealth management. I think nobody's given like a brief introduction to how should I invest in stocks, how do I make money of it. And I think that's at least one of the most valuable lessons, especially on how to generate more wealth, especially in trying times. So, yeah.
Loans are interesting, is the first thing I heard. Long way to go yet.
Yeah.
So that was number one. But then we moved on and asked them the biggest lesson about money that they had learned so far. And this is what they had to say.
Saving, honestly. Once I left the house, once I started getting sort of monthly allowance, I really understood how important it is to save, because I mean, it's the small things. You save small every week, for example, and at the end of the month, you can just enjoy a little bit more, and it's definitely worth it.
Savings. For example, when I have my salary, I always save like a quarter of it. So I just put a quarter of my salary aside, and the rest should be spent on bills, you know, giving it to my mom or something.
Oh my God. I think it's the importance of wealth management. It's very important because obviously I'm not going to just rely on my wages that I'll get from my future job. So I think the key and the most valuable lesson about money is, how do I generate more money? Do I have to invest in stocks? Do I need to buy shares? Or would I need to resort to property when I would have the opportunity to do so? So I think that's the most valuable lesson so far. But obviously, there's more for me to learn.
A couple of different things there, of course. The first two, savings and savings. And the third one, savings and investments. And I think that's the difference between somebody who is worried about the money that they have in their bank account and somebody who is worried about what's going to happen, not just in currently, but what's going to happen a little bit further down the future. And I think that's something that we're going to be looking at throughout this first talk set here. So no one ever tells you what you should know about money when you're young. There isn't a class in high school or even college where a professor sits you down and says, now listen, mastering money is no different than learning how to shoot a basketball or paint a picture. It just takes practice. So the five lessons that they've kind of thrown down, and some of these are kind of US-centric, but we'll skip those. But what he does say is that there are five buckets that you should focus on when it comes to building a portfolio for your finances, and they come in an order. So first up, cash. So you start saving some cash. Second is an IRA or a 401k over in the UK, over in the US. So here it would be, you know,
your EPF.
An EPF
or PRS,
or a PRS or something like that. Next up is an index fund. So stuff that you're wanting to, you know, like index kind of stocks and shares and whatever. Finally is stocks. And then it's kind of added on the end of this, and this is new, obviously, is cryptocurrencies and high-risk investments. So one of the first rules of thumb was, first and foremost, was to have 3 months of expenses saved up and tucked away in your savings account. Audrey, what do you make that face for?
I'm just trying to calculate in my head if I have 3 months.
Now, if you are disciplined, you can achieve this goal 1 to 3 years out of college. It just means you might not be able to buy shots of tequila every weekend or avocado toast, depending
that's
on
where my money went.
That's
okay.
or avocado toast. I'm using avocado toast as a joke, of course. It's a bit of a meme for the millennials in the room. I'm getting the whole look from Christine over here. So that's where we are with first. So those three things, so your cash, your EPF, index funds, stocks, and maybe if you're feeling a little bit more risky, at some point, once you've done all the others, you can look towards cryptocurrencies and that kind of stuff. Now, number two, the fastest way to start saving and investing money is to tax yourself. What do we mean by that? When you're trying to build wealth for yourself, habits are more important than quick, high-yield investments. One of the first things this guy said was, you're not a day trader, so don't try to be. The point that he was trying to make was picking stocks and even the larger concept of making money fast was the wrong way of going after things. So a lot of people make the mistake of trying to hit like that home run and that quick buck, when in reality you'll outperform most people by treating your finances in a disciplined way. Put a bit of money aside, tax yourself. So let's say, for example, you are living in an apartment that currently costs you, in a dream world, $50 per month, right? If for whatever reason your landlord came to you and said, by next month I am going to raise that rent up to $100, there's two things you would do after you've panicked. One is you would move out and find somewhere cheaper, or you would find a side hustle to find that extra $50 to pay that $100
to make up for the difference.
And that is, in effect, taxing yourself. You're finding that side hustle. You're doing something to be able to pay that extra bit of cash. When in reality, that $50 is going into your bank account. Number three, life is a game of accumulating and deploying resources. Sorry, I put my teeth in. Which means you never want to risk more than you're willing to lose. And it's a big mental shift. Once you have your 3 months of runaway saved up cash and you have set up your recurring taxes on yourself to start feeding your long-term investment vehicles, you're now ready to start playing the game of investing. Now, some people like to play it safe and just buy stocks instead from trusted companies. Others like to throw a bit more money at companies they think have potential for a lot of growth over the next 3 to 5 years. And some people really like to try their hand at forward-thinking companies and trends, like cryptocurrencies, and are willing to accept the risk that comes along with those potential gains. Or here's the thing, all of these approaches to investing are viable, so it really becomes a question of your own risk tolerance. Number four, if you want to increase the amount of money you can deploy into investments, build other streams of income, side hustle, find something else to do. Whether or not you are sat at home and you keep saying to yourself, I don't have time to go out and work this, and I don't have time to go and work wherever, you've got a phone, there is Carousel out there, there is eBay out there, there are all of these other ways in which you can make money by not moving your bum, if that's the way you want to live. You know, you can take photographs. Somebody wants to buy a table from you, whatever, you take a picture of the table, put it up, that's it, you can sell it.
Everyone has junk lying
around. Everybody's got junk. Finally, five, participate in other investments like real estate or angel investing once you've built the above habits into your daily lifestyle. Don't run before you can walk. Your friends will come to you and say, I have this great idea for a company. I need a little bit of money to get it started. You know, maybe you should go to your bank and get a loan to go and help me out. Don't do that. You know, once you've established the fact that you are solid in your finances, that's when you can start thinking, okay, well, maybe my friend does have a smart idea and maybe I'd like to invest in it and maybe I have the actual ready money to be able to invest in this company. Don't loan to go and help somebody out. Makes sense?
Makes sense.
Course, yeah.
We have some experts, though, after the break that are going to give us some real tips on how to do it. I am just a mouth on radio. These people know what they're talking about. Because I am way over the age of 30.
And
like I've said, some of these things on this list slipped by me.
Yeah.
Money up next. It is Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is from Jet. And if you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899 here on WhatsApp and Twitter at BFM Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Arvind Viraj.
And Audrey Raj.
Today we're talking about money, not trash. We had a bit of a chat with you earlier on about five money lessons you need to learn by the time that you are 30. It said you have to have five buckets you should focus on when it comes to building your portfolio. So there's cash, there's your EPFs, there's index funds, stocks and cryptocurrencies or high-risk investments. We've spoken through all of those. We have an expert coming on, or a couple of experts coming on in just a minute to give us some more advice. But we asked for your feedback, and we got quite a bit, actually. We've got WhatsApps, we've got tweets, we've got Insta stories. Where should we go first? Let's go to Twitter first, Arf.
Yeah, so on Twitter, Yiyu says, if you want the money that someone promised you, get a contract. Words are too cheap nowadays. That's one.
Completely agree with that.
Fadlan says, no such thing as too much money.
Agree.
That's his biggest lesson. And then there are three lessons from That's My Full Name. Her own lesson, pay your credit card bills on time if you don't want to give free money to the bank. I now schedule payments as soon as I get my bill in case I forget. This is an advice she got from Wise Women. If you're a married woman, even if you don't have a salary from working outside the home, keep a secret bank account because you never know when you might need it. And then advice from a former boss, if you're a married couple, don't share to buy property because it'll be a big headache splitting it if you get divorced.
Positive thoughts, but you know, the lessons are there for
very
for
practical
sure.
lessons.
Very practical lessons, yes.
Yeah.
Looking at WhatsApp here, we have a message from numbers ending 9165 who says, never use a credit card, don't take loans that is not needed, and don't buy things that we can't afford. Stay away from installment purchases.
Which echoes what Peasdin says over on InstaStory. Credit cards are disastrous. Okay. Well, with that in mind, we thought, well, it's okay for us to have an opinion and give you the lessons that we have learned and what we've been told by Fast Company. We thought we'd have a little bit of a chat with Roshan Ganesan, of course, who BFM's very own host of Ring and Sense. He's the producer of that as well. We also spoke with Aaron Tang, who's a personal finance blogger from MrStingy.com. We asked them both the same question. What would you say is the biggest money lesson Malaysians need to learn?
The biggest money lesson has to be that savings and investment are not the same thing. Savings do not earn you the same amount of return over time, and that's not going to save you for retirement. You need to invest your money. Malaysia has Amanah Saham, you've got unit trust, you've got many tools at your disposal. You unfortunately have to do your homework here, but with the advent of technology, we now have things like robo-advisors, or you could just put more money into your EPF account. But savings and investment are not the same thing.
I think the biggest money lesson really, right, is that money isn't something that your destiny is fixed, right? Like, you grow up in, say, a rich family, then you kind of grow up with this mindset that, oh, no, money is always easy, things are always going to be fine. Or if you grow up in, say, a hardworking middle-class family, you always grow up with this mindset that, you know, money, you know, I'm always going to be working hard in the middle class. Or if you grow up in a, especially in a poor, struggling family, I think you might grow up with the mindset that, you know, oh, I'm always going to be struggling with money, you know, society is unfair, economy is unfair. So I think the biggest lesson really here is that your money future or your ability to get money, that's something that can be changed. And I think a lot of people don't realize that because it's kind of ingrained to us. It's just that our money destiny or whatever is kind of like, it's always going to be the same.
Big lesson there. Savings are not the same as investments, ladies and gents. We then went on. How financially literate would you say that Malaysians are in general? Roshan.
So from my interviews on Ring and Sense, it seems like there's a big concern over the financial literacy in Malaysia. From AKPK to EPF, they all believe that there's a lot more room here to grow. And it comes back down to education because we just don't teach this in school. And it doesn't, and it translates into the fact that many people just don't understand differences like between savings and investment and the different tools or even the different terms that are involved in daily personal finance.
I think if we look at a lot of studies, a lot of research has said that, you know, Malaysians aren't financially literate. So I don't have the statistics, but I think broadly speaking, most people don't really, check off the basic few things, which is, you know, do I track my spending? Do I have a budget? Do I have emergency savings? So I don't think most people are very literate. And it's something that we've been working on in the past few years, definitely government, people like myself who write blogs. And I think things are improving, but definitely there's a long way to go.
Just to kind of look back on what the two of them said about, you know, how people saying that Malaysians in general are not so financially literate, I don't think that's just a Malaysian problem. You know, I think that is a global problem because, you know, financial literacy, for the most part, is not taught in schools at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there will be some schools who have that on part of their syllabus, but, for you know, generally speaking, you don't go into school and learn how to save your money or how to invest your money.
Or how credit cards work.
No, you are taught calculus and, you know, physical education and a bit of science and trigonometry.
Or at the bare minimum, they just tell you to GMAT, you know, just to save.
Right.
You know, but they don't tell you how you could be saving and what you should then use your savings for. It's just a matter of, I think it just stops at, you know, you should save.
Right. Remember, you can also feedback to us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp and Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. Final question that we managed to ask the experts then was, why do you think Malaysians lack financial literacy?
I can't address all of that, but I think there's a big chunk of Malaysians that grew up in households where they didn't have to worry about the money, where parents were like, your job is to do well in school, I will handle the money. And because of that, there's no exposure to things like expenditure, bills, none of that. And because of that, there is a lack of a conceptual understanding of money and finance. So even if you learn it in school, you don't put as much emphasis on it because you're not graded on it. Our subjects that we take in PMR or SPM don't have that financial component in it.
I think it goes back again to my first point where I said that, you know, we grow up with this kind of fixed mindset that, oh, my money destiny is kind of going to be the same. And you can't blame people because that's the environment that they grow up in, right? Say for maybe a small percentage of the population, you never actually sort of think further, like, you know, how am I going to change my circumstances? What's the practical way to change my circumstances? So maybe it's a problem more of motivation and mindset as opposed to like giving people just like putting it in syllabuses, putting it in exams and things like that. Because I think we've tried to get information to people, but somehow if the motivation to change, the motivation to learn isn't there, I don't know how effective these programs will be.
I can attest to some of that. I remember your parents, when they say that, you know, I want you to have a better life than I did. I don't want you to live how I lived, and I don't want you to struggle how I've struggled. So coming from a family that did have financial problems when I was a kid and seeing that, and there is part of me still now that looks as that as being the kind of foundation of my life. My parents struggled, therefore I'm going to have a bit of a struggle. And that kind of is a very hard hurdle to overcome when you grow up.
Yeah, and I agree with what Aaron has to say. You know, sometimes it comes down to the motivation, because if you've never had to endure money problems, then you just don't see the dire need to save and to have a little extra, you know, tucked away somewhere under your mattresses or in a bank account. So I guess when you feel the burn, then you get moving, I guess.
Right.
How old were you guys when you started learning about things like investments and, you know, how to put your money into different buckets and to know how important those things were? Like, you know, when was that? Because for me, it was all like trial and error. It had to go through like experience. I think going back to the question of what my biggest money lesson would be is be very careful with credit cards because it's way too easy. Yeah. I'm not saying don't have a credit card because they're helpful when you go overseas and when you need like emergency money and stuff, but be very, very careful when using credit cards.
Yeah. I'm probably about the same age that I could get my first credit card.
Yeah.
And learning that very burning lesson when you get your first bill.
You learn it the hard way.
Yeah.
So that I think, you know, because there's no like previous education, it comes like way too late. Even stuff like investments, I think it could have been picked up way earlier. And when you start saving or investing way earlier, when you have less commitments, it makes it easier for you to invest in the first place.
Yeah. We should probably take a short break. When we come back, we'll have some more feedback that we've got via WhatsApp. Music up next from Blur with Country House. You know the numbers, you know the handles. messages if you want to. Music up next here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.